Well, we can already leave and shout and say it's been good, can't we?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. I'll tell y'all like I used to tell me before when I go to meetings, well, it's been good till now. Amen. I trust the Lord to help us tonight. I appreciate the good message and song tonight from all the singing that was going on. I believe everybody hit the nail on the head. I believe everybody's been obedient to the Lord, and I appreciate that. You'll be finding your places tonight. You'll see why here in just a minute. I guess the worst fear of any preacher is missing it, especially when he goes somewhere else to preach. And I've been praying much ever since Brother Hyatt told us he wanted us to come about what to preach, and never got settled till this afternoon on what to preach, and everything's went in line, I think, tonight to what the Holy Ghost said. Nobody knew until Brother Danny. I didn't even tell him all about it, but I told him where I'd be a while ago. And I believe the Holy Ghost has signed, sealed, and helpfully, hopefully will help me deliver tonight. Amen. But before I get into the message, I do want to invite all of you to our meeting. I talked to this old Brother Hyde. He says, fine, September the 15th through the 18th. Of course, you'll be here on the 15th, Sunday. That's your Lord's Day. Amen. In the house of God. But after that, on Monday and Tuesday and the first part of Wednesday, as long as the preacher says it's all right, you can even stay on Wednesday night. But Monday through Wednesday, we'll be having services there, morning and evening services. And we'll feed you until you get fed up.
Amen.
Amen. One way or the other, you'll either get fed up spiritually or you'll get fed up physically. But you will get fed up if you hang around our place very long. Amen. Smoked bologna and pork chops and I don't know what all they'll have. I better quit talking because my wife might change the menu on me. But we want you to come, and especially the preachers want you to come and try to be a blessing and a help to us in the services, and trust we'll be able to be a blessing and a help to you. God's always used the people here, and I appreciate that. And as Brother Hyatt said, we've been friends now for a pretty good while. Amen. And I trust the Lord to help us not to end that friendship tonight. Amen. Song of Solomon, chapter number 5. Song of Solomon, chapter number 5. Brother Chris opened up the service tonight with that song, I Want to Know More About My Lord. And then these ladies sung about how we stand amazed in the presence of Jesus, the Nazarene. And then Miss Francie sung about how we look unto the hills, from whence come our help. Amen. And how our name's written down. And I trust the Lord to help us tonight. Song of Solomon, chapter number 5, verse number 1. The Lord talking, of course, in reference of the spiritual typology here. I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, old friends. That's what I want y'all to do tonight. Just sit down at God's table and take a feast. Amen. Eat, old friends. Drink. Yea, drink abundantly, old beloved. Now the bride speaking, I sleep. She's asleep. But look what the Bible said. But my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister. Y'all do remember Revelation chapter number 3, right? My love, my dove, my undefiled. My head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love. And may the Lord add His blessings to the reading of His Word. Let's bow for a moment of prayer and then a message for this evening. Our Heavenly Father and our God, as we do bow before You, Lord, this night, I do plead for the help of God. I plead for the power of the Holy Ghost, Lord, that You'd help us to preach. I pray, dear God, that You'd touch in the hearts and lives of Your people here tonight. You know the needs of each and every one. You know those sitting on the pew lost tonight without hope, without mercy, without God. I pray, Lord, You'd extend that mercy. I pray, Lord, You'll bring that deep conviction. I pray, Lord, You'll bring salvation unto their life. I do ask, dear God, that You'd help the saints of God. Help us all, Lord, to improve where improvement is needed. And, Lord, we will thank You and we will praise You for all that You do. Bless this church now and its pastor, and we'll give You the honor and the glory for it all. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I've taken my thought tonight out of verse number 6. The Bible said, I opened to my beloved, but my beloved hath withdrawn himself and was gone. I can't think of any more sorrowful thought than to go and open the door and no one was there. And that's what the bride said tonight. I opened the door and no one was there. I opened the door and no one was there. Now, if the Lord help us tonight, I'm going to give you a few thoughts and I'll be done. But I want you to notice what is going on in this time. The Song of Solomon, of course, we know that this is what we would call the love book. We know that this is dealing with the relationship of Solomon and his bride. We know that in type and prophecy, it is dealing with the fact of our Lord Jesus Christ and us, His bride. Amen? And we learn much about that. And that's what I said tonight. I want to know more about my Lord. Amen. I've been trying to learn a little bit now for some over, 85, so 34 years almost in the making here. If I make it to September the 8th, amen, that I've been trying to learn a little bit about Jesus. That I've been trying to find out exactly why He saved an old boy like me. Exactly why He would call me into His service. Exactly why He would fill me with His Spirit and use me to preach the Word of God. Been working on that now for many a years. But I find most of all, in talking with other preachers as well as what I see in myself, I find the problem in our present day. I find that the Lord has came and knocked. I find that the Lord has put His hand in the hole by the door. I find that the Lord, and I'll get into this in more detail maybe in a little bit, but I find that the Lord has called to His people in such a way that their bowels began to yearn within them for God. But yet they're not willing to get up out of their bed. They're not willing to put on their coat. They're not willing, amen, to get their feet a little dirty, amen, from the earth that they would be walking on. And I see that by the bride tonight. I see that in our churches today. I see that in God's people today. Not as a whole in absolute, but in general, I find many are sleeping on the Lord. We are in a state of apathy. We have come to a place that we're calm in our mind. We have come to a place that we're not being ruffled. We have come to a place that we're not being awakened. And the Word of God said in Romans 13:11, and that knowing the time, We know the time. We've been there. We've seen this. We've been preached to about it. We read the Scriptures and we know what is going on. We know we're in the last days. We understand the time is upon us, but we're still sleeping. We're still asleep. The apathy that has come. We're not excited about the passion. As a general rule, we're not excited about pleasure. We're not excited about the pain that has come from us. Or can I say what we are causing the Lord? Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you said, Lord, am I hurting you? How long has it been since you said to yourself, Lord, is what I'm doing and the way I'm living bringing pain to you? Lord, is it displeasing you? Apathy has come. It's taken over. We're knowing that the high time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. I believe everybody raise their hand here tonight believing that Jesus is soon coming. But are we living our life like we believe it? I find in my own self, I'm not fussing at you, I'm fussing at me. I find in my own self that I say I believe the Lord is coming soon. I say that I believe the Lord wants us to live this way. And He wants us to do these things and not do those things. But you know what I find? I find what the Apostle Paul said. I find the things that I would are the things I'm not doing. And the things that I'm doing is the things I shouldn't be doing. Amen. Isn't that right? Why, preacher? Because we're in a state of apathy. We're content. We're satisfied. Hey, man, we're resting well. We've got it good, better than we've ever had it. Hey, man, for the most part. Hey, man, and we have good services. The Lord shows up, comes by our way, and we know we're okay, and we're going to heaven, and we just don't worry about anybody else. Apathy. 1 Corinthians 15:34, awake to righteousness. And sin not. He said, for some have not the knowledge of God. Some don't know, Brother Hyde. Brother Danny, them birds down there at the jail. That's what they called them, jailbirds, isn't that right? Them birds down there at the jail. I probably shouldn't say that since y'all are doing live streaming. But them guys down there at the jail and them women down there at jail, they need to hear the gospel too. But he said here, he said, they have not the knowledge of God. And he said, I speak this to your shame. God is ashamed of us because we don't tell people about Jesus. Amen. Ephesians 5:14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee life. Well, preacher, I just don't know what to do. Well, wake up and he'll show you what to do. Amen. He'll give you the light. Number two. Or actually, these are sub-points. I'm sorry. I done preached so long, I done think I'm in the done part. Amen. Let's notice some good things that will wake us up. All right. Song of Solomon, chapter number 5. Notice here what Jesus said in verse number 2. He said, She said, I sleep. But my heart waketh. Now here's what woke her up. She said, it is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister. Open to me, my sister. I see here that this gives us his attachment with the bride. That gives us our attachment with the Lord. If He don't speak to you, then you're not one of His. If He speaks to you, then you can rest assured. I'm not talking about any conviction now as far as a sinner goes. But I'm talking about if He's speaking to you on a daily basis. He's working in your heart and your life. Amen. He lets you know that He's there. Then you're one of His. It shows that attachment when He said, my sister. Shows His affection when He said, my love, my dove. Hey, man, you men go home, and I don't know what you do, but you go home and you call your wife the old lady. You call her an old hussy, old heifer. You old hag. I know a lot of them might nag, but you don't need to call them an old nag. When you go home and you talk to them in the way Jesus is talking to His bride, my love, my dove, things get a little sweeter around the house. Amen. Shows that affection, that power. Amen. That woke her from her sleep was the power of His words, His language. Amen. Showing His attachment to her when He called her my sister. Showing His affection toward her when He said, my love, my dove. And then His approval when He said, my undefiled. I don't know how I got on it now this morning, Brother Danny, but I got on it and it got good. The Lord ain't looking at my sin no more, Brother Hyde. He's looking through the blood. Amen. He's looking through the blood. Now, does that mean that Jesus don't know when we sin? God don't know when we sin? No, absolutely not. He does know. The Lord knows. Amen. But when we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when He sees me, He sees the blood. Amen. He's not seeing that defiled Joel Gray. Amen. From years past. He's not seeing, if I can put it this way, He's not even seeing my faults and my failures now. When I come to Him, He sees the blood and He receives me as His child. You know, I fall down out here in a mud hole or I got snot running out of my nose and spit coming out of my mouth, you might not want to touch me. You might not want to help me. But you let one of your youngins get that away and see what you do. Amen. I didn't say God had to, but He does. He still loves me. He still draws me up. Amen. He still wipes the tears. He still cleans the snot off my face. He still cleans the dirt, amen, off of me. Amen, and calls me one of His own and lets me live for Him. What a joy. He's given me His approval by saying, my undefiled. Notice next, His patience to wait for her. Not only His power that wakes her, but His patience to wait for her. He's long-suffering. Notice what He said. Now He's come in the evening. And notice what He said here in verse number 3. He said, verse number 2 at the end of it. For my head is filled with dew. He's been out there now, Brother Hyde, long enough that his hair has gotten wet from the dew that's fallen from the sky. He's been out there waiting for his bride to come and open the door long enough that the water is dripping from the hair of his head. Is that not long suffering? You have to stand outside a pretty good while, and it has to be a pretty heavy dew for you to even feel it, much less get wet by it. Amen. Showing us not just necessarily that it happened in one evening, even though interpretation that's the way it happened here, but showing us that the Lord is long-suffering. The Lord is not willing that any should perish. He's willing to sit there and wait as long as it takes if you'll make a move. Amen. Amen. Long-suffering, my head is filled with dew. Oh, and it shows His love. He said, my locks with the drops of the night. Somebody to love me. To set out in the elements of the weather. And I know the Lord can't get sick. Don't misunderstand me. But in human interpretation here, a man willing to get sick. A man willing to suffer in the elements of the night. A man maybe even getting cold in the nighttime. A man willing to prove his love for his bride. I want you to notice secondly tonight, not only when she opened the door and no one was there because of her apathy, but she opened the door and no one was there because of her answer. And this is where the churches are tonight in general. This is where we're at. Notice with me, if you would please, in verses 3 and 4. Verse 3 and 4, she said, I put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I've washed my feet, how shall I defile them? Now let me just put it this way. Was out weeding yesterday and doing some work, mowing, different things like that. I was soaking wet with sweat, grass trimmings all over me, tired, ready to go home and get in the shower and put on my night clothes. I call them pajamas, but they're like running pants and things like that, and shirt, and ready to put them on and sit back in that recliner and relax a little bit before bedtime. That's exactly what happened with this bride right here. She'd been out in the field. She'd been working. You go and read Song of Solomon. She'd been out. She'd been working. She come in. She got cleaned up. She took her coat off. It's time to relax. Amen. She cleaned her feet. It's time to stay off the dirt floor. But the Lord comes. And He's put His hand on the door. And He's calling out to her. But we find her comfortable. And that's what's wrong with churches today. They've gotten comfortable.
Yeah.
All the needs are met. Things are going pretty good. Preacher don't condemn us too much. He don't preach too hard against sin. I think that's a little bit different than here than the norm. I think. If he hadn't changed on me, it's a little different than what I'm saying. But most churches, they come, Brother Danny, to get pat on the back. Just keep putting your money in the plate, buddy. That's all you got to do. I won't say a word. Just keep coming and sitting on the pew, and I won't say a word. Amen. Just make sure you shake the preacher's hand so he don't get upset with you, and everything will be all right. Boy, they've gotten comfortable, hadn't they? She said, I put off my coat. How shall I put it on? That would be bothersome for me to do. It's kind of like us. We come in from a hard day's work. Like I say, take a shower. Get relaxed. Amen. We're sitting there. And all of a sudden something comes up. And we're either going to have to deny what has come up, or we're going to have to put back on the work clothes and go back to work. How many of you like to do that? Then nobody raised their hands up for that little boy right there because Daddy picked him up. Notice here her answer was not only that she was comfortable, but she said, I'm clean. The preacher preaches hard out. And the people sit on the pew and say, well, preacher, I'm saved. Preacher, I get the right kind of haircut. Preacher, I wear the right kind of clothes. Preacher, I read the right King James Bible. What else do you want? This bride said, I've come in, I've cleaned the dirt off, the world off my feet. What else do you want? I'll tell you what he wanted. He wanted some fellowship. And I don't care how clean you might think you need to be, or how clean you might think you are, rather, in order to have fellowship with him, you're going to have to clean up a little more. Amen. Amen. He just don't accept all the dirt in His presence. Amen. He'll clean you up. He'll accept you. He'll clean you up. But He ain't going to take the dirt. The Bible said He saved me from my sin. Amen. Hallelujah. He don't like them sins on you when you come before Him. He said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Isn't that right? We're going to have fellowship with Him. Hey, in other words, if I want to have the right kind of fellowship with my wife, I can't go in fussing and blaspheming her, basically, and telling her she's good for nothing, and why ain't you done this, and why ain't you done that, and expect a good relationship. Ain't going to happen. But I'm afraid a lot of quote-unquote Christians have treated the Lord that way. She said, I've washed my feet. How shall I defile them? Her third answer was, in verses 3 and 4, when He come and wanted to have fellowship with her, was the fact that she was compelled. Not only do we see that her answer was, I'm comfortable. Not only do we see her answer was, I'm clean. But she said, I'm compelled to do this. It's like something drawing me, and it's beyond my power to not do it. But yet she's withholding herself and says, I don't want to go. You ever felt like in your life that you knew the Lord was drawing you, play to Him, where you could have that fellowship with Him, where you could be that servant that He wanted to make you, where you could be that Christian that would make a difference in life, in the people that you were around, and He said, this is what's got to be done, this is what you got to do. And you said, no, thank you. No, thank you. I'm compelled. I'm called. He wants me to, but I'm not going to do it. Notice what she said. She said in verse number 4 there, she said, my beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. The odor that I smelt, the knowledge that he had put his hand in at the door, the fact that I knew that he wanted us to spend some time together, it compelled me, it caused me to yearn for him, but I wasn't willing to do what I needed to do to have that kind of relationship. That's the way sinners are, you know that, don't you? Let me go into some type here. Sinners think they got it all right. And the Lord goes and He shows mercy and He shows compassion and He draws them and He's working with them and He tries to bring them unto Himself. And they say, no, I don't want that. I don't want to give this up. I want to live my life. Better be careful. Better be careful. Saved and lost alike, you better be careful. Lord cuts you off. Amen. The Bible talks about in Romans about Him turning them over to a reprobate mind. He talks in 1 John about the sin unto death for the child of God. He said, I say you should not pray for it. Amen. Thirdly, in verses 5 and 6, I see her amazement. Notice here, how she is amazed at what is going on at the door. She said, I rose up. She finally come to her senses. Can I say it that way? She finally said, I believe I want to have this relationship. I believe I want my beloved, amen, to come in. I believe I want to spend some time with him. And so she rose up to open to her beloved, to my beloved, as the Bible puts it, and my hands dropped with myrrh. You ever had somebody play a prank on you? Maybe put something sticky or some Vaseline or something like that on a door handle or a car handle, and you go to grab it, or maybe even sometimes they even get real bad and put some bubble gum there or something. You grab a hold of it and you get that stuff on you. I just give some kids some ideas, I think. I'm sorry. Don't blame me. I didn't tell him to do it. This woman comes to the door, Brother Danny, and the stuff begins, the myrrh begins to drop from her hands. The smell is so strong, the perfume, if I can put it that way, is so strong, the Bible says it smells sweet on her fingers. It began to, can I say, give her a desire that compelled her to go the extra mile. And I'm afraid that we as preachers, we strive to lead the flock to the point that they can experience what I am trying to get across to you tonight. But until God deals with your heart and until you're willing to let God work that in you, it's not going to happen. The old saying was, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Well, I got news for you. I can't even lead you to water. Amen. I can tell you all about it. Amen. And I can tell you everything that the Lord will do. And I can tell you how much I've experienced it. But if you ain't willing to get out of bed, go to the door and open it up and let God move in, then you're in trouble. Amen. Her amazement we find in the fact of the abundance. When she rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh. Can you imagine the amazement with her hands just dripping with that myrrh? Can you imagine the aroma? She said, my fingers were sweet smelling myrrh. It wasn't a stench. It wasn't so strong. Now some people like to take baths in that stuff. Amen. You can say, oh me, if you're guilty. I don't like it too well because it fools with my allergies. I go sneezing if I get around it too strong. I take my showers, I use soap, and I use deodorant. That's as far as I go with it. I'm not fussing at you for wearing cologne or perfume, but you don't have to take a shower in it. Amen. The aroma. And then I see his absence. This bridegroom is, in the context, knocking at the door. He's giving her all the signals of his presence. He's giving her all the signals that he wants to enter in with her and have that sweet communion and fellowship. But when she opens the door, to her amazement, he's gone. He's gone. Church, I hope we'll get a hold of what I'm trying to tell us tonight. Don't wait till it's too late. If he's at the door, open the door. Don't lay in the bed. Don't become into a state of apathy that you're just not willing to change. You're being content with where you're at. Get up and get to the door. Be willing to work for the Lord. I see, lastly, it gives that aspiration. In verses 6 through 8, you can read rest of the chapter down through verse number 16. I'll not deal with all those verses. But I see her aspiration. She began to aspire for him. In this, I see the chase. In verse number 6, she said, I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. She got on the chase, buddy. You know what? If you'll run after him long enough, though, you might find him. He said, those that seek me early shall find me. Isn't that what he said? Amen. But you better seek him while he may be found. Amen. Let me just get off of that now. It aspired her to chase him. Seek him. It aspired her to call out to him. Notice what she said. She said, I not only sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. Any of you men like to eat like me? And when the wife calls and says supper's ready, does she have to call twice? Not usually. Now, I might be reading and trying to finish up something and getting some notes wrote down or something like that, and I might tell her I'll be there in a minute. There is one thing that is a little bit more esteemed than my necessary food. Amen. But when she calls me to the supper table, I usually go. Amen. And when this bride called out to him, he didn't give her an answer. And I'm sure she didn't just say, bridegroom, where you at? I'm sure at the top of her lungs she yelled to him, called him by name, and said, where are you? Would you come back? I wonder. I hope you don't take this the wrong way. But the people that usually say what I'm fixing to say is making excuses because they don't want God. I know you can get God and never open your mouth, never utter a sound from your vocal cords. I know you can pray silently and find God. I know that. But when you get desperate, you're not going to pray silently. You're going to cry aloud. You read through the Psalms and time again, I cried aloud. I cried aloud! I cried aloud! If your child was running out there in that street and a car was coming, you wouldn't say. Inside, you're hollering, come here. But no voice comes out. So don't tell me you're really needing God and you're... You'll cry out to Him if you really want Him. She called to Him. I'm meddling now. That's all right. It inspired her not only to chase Him down, not only to call out to Him, but it inspired her to crave Him. You ever wanted something so bad that it just made you sick? That's what she said. She said, verse number 7, the watchmen that went out about the city found me, they smote me, they wounded me, the keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. Can I liken that unto the world? Would that be all right tonight in typology? And that's the way we are, child of God. If you're saved by the grace of God and you're not living close to the Lord and you don't have that relationship, everybody in this world will feel like they're beating you down. And yet you ain't got a chance. But look what she said. I charge you, verse number 8, O daughters of Jerusalem, if ye find my beloved, that ye tell him that I am sick of love. Brother Hutt, how many times did I call you? Or you called me. But anyway, in relation, we were talking on the phone. And I said, brother, I need your prayers.
Amen. Yes.
It wasn't that I couldn't pray. It wasn't that I couldn't get a hold of God. It wasn't that He wasn't right there near me helping me. But I needed somebody else to get a hold of Him for me too. And this bride, she said, I'm sick. I got to have Him. You can knock me down all you want. You can talk about me all you want. But I need Him. And if you find Him, I'm charging you, I'm telling you, I'm commanding you. Tell Him, I'm sick of love. I'm not going to get any better till He comes back. Amen. Boy, there were some days like that in my life, Brother Hyatt. You know that. Hey, some days like that in our church family right now. They've been through it. And I know sometimes they might feel like I'm up there with a big stick beating them over the head. But I love them and I preach the truth to them, hoping that they'll get a hold of what I got to say. And I appreciate Miss Francie testifying to that point tonight. If we will trust in Him, He will help us.
Amen.
He will help us. She craved Him. She said, I'm sick of love. Let me give you these quick 5 signs of love and I'm done. 1, we cannot find contentment in anything without Him.
Amen.
Don't tell me you love the Lord and you're satisfied with this world and the things that's in it. Can I be blunt? You're lying. You don't love the Lord. He might be a part or a portion of your life, but you don't love Him. When you love Him, He's got your all. See, my heart belongs to Shauna Lynn Gray. Ain't no other woman got my heart, Brother Danny. I'll brag on her like this, but at home I don't tell her all this good stuff. I ain't looking for one, don't need one. I have a hard enough time taking care of the one I got. Amen. But she got me on January the 16th, probably a little bit before this date, but I'll just say it this way, of 1989, our first official date. Went to Pizza Hut and ordered pizza and had a good time. After we eat pizza, I took her home. Amen. That was our first date, Brother High. Even took my best friend with me on the date. Well, we'll leave that alone. I remember what she was wearing that night. I don't tell her all this stuff all the time because I don't like that mushy stuff. I bet she don't know what I was wearing that night. But now, we got married in 92. Our first date, official date, was in 89. Got married February 28, 1992. So 27 and almost a half years later now. And it's still all right. Still all right. As far as I know, she ain't looking for nobody else. She ain't told me she was. Amen. But you know what? I ain't going to find contentment in another because she's my love. She's my dove. Amen. That's right. That's not saying that I can't fall. I'm human. That's not saying that she can't fall. She's human. Or anybody else. But I ain't got my eyes set on another. Amen. I want to say secondly, we labor to render Him lovely to others. If you really love Him tonight, you're going to want to make sure other people understand that you love Him and why you love Him and that He is lovely.
Yeah.
I tried to preach that a little bit this morning in the Sunday school time and the worship time. But in John 10, He said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But He said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." That's what we need to tell the world. He wants to give life. Render Him lovely to others. That's a proof of your love. Thirdly, if we love Him, if we're willing to do and suffer for Him. Most people can't even be faithful to the house of God, much less suffer martyrdom or persecution even in some ways. Because I'm amazed at the people that act shocked that they get ridiculed or persecuted a little bit when the Bible plainly says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution."
Yeah, amen.
Amen. You know, there's a few people out here that will persecute you if you say that you've been married for 27 years. They've done been married 3 or 4 or 5 times, didn't stay married 1 year or 2 years at a time. And I know it goes both ways, but most times it's because ain't neither one of them willing to get along. Amen. What are we willing to do for Him? And are we willing to suffer for Him? That proves our love. I'm confident tonight, without just boasting on man, I'm confident tonight that some of you husbands have made sacrifices for your wives. And I'm confident that some of you wives have made sacrifices for your husband.
Sure.
If you love him, and if you love her, that's the way it's going to be. 4, he who loves God hates that which separates them, which is sin. You know, if you really love God, and that sin comes in your life, you're going to try to abstain from it. The Bible tells us to do that, doesn't it? The Bible tells us not to make provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So if you really love God, you're not going to make provisions. But when, it's not an if, we can't live sinlessly in this world, but one day, praise God, we will. Amen. But when sin does come and it separates you between you and your God, are you willing to get rid of that sin so that relationship can be back together like it ought to be? That's when you really love Him. And lastly, he who loves God weeps bitterly over his absence. If God ever withdraws Himself from you, it'll eat you alive. It'll eat you alive. I'm going to put it this way. I know a man tonight that his wife left him, and it just continuously eats at him. Let me tell you why. Because he loves her. It don't matter what she did or did not do. He loves her. I lived beside some of my family years ago. I lived beside them for years. I saw my cousin literally, physically beat his wife time and time and time again. Bruises, black eyes, cracked ribs. For the life of me, I'm a teenager, older teenager at this time. And for the life of me, I'm like, you idiot, get rid of him. I know that don't go too well, and I know I got some difference of opinions with some people. But I'm like, you idiot, get rid of him. She'd send him to jail. She'd call the law, have him hauled off to jail. A day or two later, he'd call, begging her to come get him. She'd go post the bail. He was too sorry to work. She worked. She'd post the bail, get him out, come home, and in a day or two, he'd get drunk again, beat her again. Beat her again. I don't know where they're at this stage in life. I've been away and gone too long from that area. I have no idea what's going on in their life now. Last I heard, they were totally separated. Now, I'm not for divorce, but I don't mind separation. I believe a woman ought to protect herself. I believe a man ought to protect himself. Amen. Right. But my point is, I don't know if it was fear or if it was love, but something caused her to keep taking him back. And I think if we really and truly love God, if He ever withdraws Himself the least bit, we'll do what it takes to get Him back. Is that right?
Yeah.
I believe that's right. I opened the door, and no one was there. Don't wait too late. Father, I thank the Lord for your help tonight. I pray that you take the Word of God, use it for your honor and your glory. Meet every need that's needed in every heart and every life. And Lord, do that be pleasing unto Thee. And we'll thank You and praise You for all that You do in Jesus' name.